It's 1977, and they're starting the second season of The Muppet Show. And the Muppet Ensemble has a character who became unexpectedly popular last year, and they want to feature her more on the show. We talked in the last episode of this podcast about Miss Piggy's rapid development in the first season from a simple one-joke character to a fully fleshed-out three-joke character, and the audience really responded to it. So they want a regular spot on the show for Piggy, and what they do is they put her in a tin can, they shoot her out into space, and they ask her to do the laundry. Like, multiple times.
I can't give you anything but love, baby. That's the only thing I've plenty of, baby.
Kissy kissy and welcome to another episode of the Fantastic Miss Piggy podcast. I'm Danny Horn, and this podcast chronicles my journey to learn everything there is to know about that divine swine, the incomparable Miss Piggy. Today, we are talking about pigs in space, and my first mate for the day is the indomitable Jared Fairclough from Muppet fan site Tough Pigs and the interview podcast to introduce our guest star. Hello, Jared.
Hello, Danny. Are you the grandfather of Tough Pigs? That's not to make you feel old.
No, it's that does too. You know, when you get old, you actually don't need stuff to make you feel old. You just feel it all the time.
True.
Yeah, no, I started Tough Pigs back in 2001 and ran it for several years.
I was 12.
Yes.
Did that make you feel old?
Always do.
All right, great.
And then passed it on to Ryan and Joe, and now a whole bunch of people have joined, and you joined when you were part of the Muppet Mindset.
So I was part of the Muppet Mindset, and then I was sort of, I would occasionally do stuff for Tough Pigs every now and then. Then I took over Muppet Mindset in 2015.
Mm-hmm.
And then I somehow weaseled my way into Tough Pigs. And so Muppet Mindset is no more. Weaseled my way in, and I've taken over the beast. But I'm excited to be here and to talk about Miss Piggy.
Hooray. I'm super excited that you're here. Now, something we do at the start of the podcast is to say something nice about Miss Piggy, which I think every podcast should do. I don't know why they don't.
Absolutely.
So, Jared, I'll ask you, what's a favorite Miss Piggy moment for you?
So I had a couple in mind that popped to mind when you said, you know, this is how I'd like to start the podcast.
Mm-hmm.
The first one was Miss Piggy and Raquel Welch singing Woman.
That's a good one.
I Am a Woman, which is a great song. And when Raquel passed away early this year, I think it was, I don't know why, but the Australian news media used that clip in every single news story. And they wouldn't just play like 2 seconds of it. They play like a good 15, 20 seconds of it. And so it's just The Muppet Show on Australian television for 20 seconds, which was nice.
Yeah.
But that's a nice classic sketch. And then the other one was Miss Piggy's, basically the whole episode of the 2015 series with Reese Witherspoon, where she has to apologize because, like, I was watching that, and granted, it's hard to talk about character development when it comes to the Muppets.
Mm-hmm.
We're gonna
spend the next little while doing exactly that. But
which we're gonna have a conversation about anyway. But just watching her character development, especially in the later years, you know, there's the case of flanderization, which is the word I use a lot when it comes to the Muppets. That show, I was really worried in those first few episodes that, oh, they're just caricatures of themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And Piggy is so easy to make a caricature of herself.
Right.
And again, I don't want to dive too far into that because that's the whole conversation is going to be about. Mm-hmm. But that episode, I was like, it was much needed character development where she cries and she apologizes.
Right.
And yes, okay, she does end that episode with saying like, I win. I'm the best apologizer ever. But she apologized, and that's not something Piggy ever really does anymore. So that was a really nice moment. That was me going like, oh, okay, all right, maybe we can still get some sort of development out of these characters.
Well, that's really beautiful. Yeah, and I think that was the promise of that sitcom, was that would happen.
Yeah.
I love that
that
moment just because I was waiting for musical numbers to find their way into that show. And so to end with a big Miss Piggy musical number that's actually funny and cool, I enjoyed that a lot. Yeah, that's a fantastic moment.
And also very, very well made.
Yeah.
Like, I've watched that thing, like, multiple times just to see if you can figure out where the hell Eric is in that entire situation. And you cannot see him at all.
Yeah, no. He's behind all these other dancers. Yeah.
It's obviously a really, in some really sort good of thing. Green outfit. It's very, very impressive.
Well, today we're talking about The Muppet Show, second season for Miss Piggy, where they know she's a popular character and they're trying to figure out ways to put more focus on the character. One of those is this regular sketch called Pigs in Space. It's a science fiction sketch, kind of a loose parody of Star Trek that takes place entirely on the ship's bridge. So therefore, it's the more boring part of Star Trek. They never boldly go anywhere. It's mostly just three characters squabbling with each other over mostly domestic issues. And Jared, you really like Pigs in Space.
I do like Pigs in Space. It's probably my favorite segment from the Muppet Show. There has been talks of me trying to figure out how to do a Pigs in Space podcast. I can't figure out what that looks like. This might be me dipping my toes in, I guess, and we'll see if I can figure out a way to make it work. Yeah, it's episode one. But I love Pigs in Space. I think it's an interesting format in that, you know, Piggy's a straight, like the straight guy in it, but then she's also not. I love Link Hulkthrob. I think he's an idiot, but in the world's best way.
Yeah.
And I like the fact that that sketch has kept popping up over the years.
Mm.
That's that segment.
Like throughout the Muppet Show and then also like more
throughout
recently.
Throughout the Muppet Show, then afterwards, yeah. Like they did a couple of sketches a few years ago. They did the like the O2 show had, you know, Doctor Who, which is one of my favorite things in the world as well.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's just like I'm never upset to see Pigs in Space.
Right. And it's kind of it's the one sketch where they pretend like there's a narrative. It's really the only thing like that on the show. Like the show doesn't do kind of continuing narrative from episode to episode, but for those 2 minutes that Pigs in Space is on, they at least pretend that this is like coming from somewhere and leading into something else. This is part of a larger story. And so it's really unique for the Muppet Show.
You're right. I don't think there's, and things occasionally relate to old Pigs in Space sketches.
Mm-hmm.
And not often, because again, there is talk about laundry. As you said, they ask her to do laundry multiple times. They actually sort of lead into each other a little bit, even though they're like 10 episodes apart.
Right.
So I don't think they were meant to lead into each other, but they do. It's just an interesting concept. And I never watched, you know, Star Trek. I don't think I've ever watched an episode of Star Trek. The closest I've come is I've watched like a season and a half of The Orville, because it's on Disney Plus. But my parents, like my mum is a massive Trekkie, which she hid from me for like 30 years. And then she's like, oh yeah, I never wanted to tell anyone because I was like, thought it was nerdy. But now she absolutely loves it. And my dad loved it. And yeah. And I don't know why she was embarrassed. I mean, I have a Muppet website and I have Muppet tattoos. And it's like, you do you, mum. Like, you enjoy yourself.
We've left that version of dignity behind a long time ago.
100%. I don't think I ever had it.
Do you want to talk about the characters a little bit?
Of course.
Let's talk about Link Hogthrob. First Mate Piggy is obviously sort of carried over from before, but Pigs in Space has created these two new characters to be part of Pigs in Space. So Captain Link Hogthrob is a parody of basically like Captain Kirk from Star Trek, where he's arrogant and super self-involved, incredibly stupid, and completely incompetent.
And I relate.
He's always got kind of like the wrong end of whatever the problem is. And something that becomes really difficult for Miss Piggy, I think, is she has to be subordinate to this. Like that's kind of the tension of the Pigs in Space sketches, is that she's supposed to be following this leader. And for a little while, in the ones we're going to talk about, she actually believes that for a minute, that she's supposed to follow this guy. It does not work out well.
No, and it was interesting watching these. I watched these last night, like one after the other.
Yeah.
And like, it's amazing going from like the first episode of Pigs in Space to the last one I watched at the end of the season. They are two different Miss Piggies.
Absolutely, yeah.
And the two different ways that she relates to these two characters. Yeah, and you're right. It's interesting sort of seeing Miss Piggy be a little bit, you know, what's the word? Not even intimidated by Link, but sort of having to answer to him and believing that.
Right.
It's really interesting to sort of, like, that's not who Piggy is.
Not anymore, basically.
Not anymore.
Yeah, but that is sort of a phase that she went through as part of Pigs in Space.
Yeah, correct. And, you know, maybe she isn't the smartest person in the room at the start. She certainly is by the end of it.
Yes.
But, you know, at that start, she's it's very much she's just there to, you know, serve the sketch.
Right.
In her way and be very much the straight man in it. And I think that's what's interesting as well, is because you get Link and you get Strange Pork.
Mm-hmm.
And they are bigger characters than Miss Piggy at the start. And look, and I mean, I don't know how much you've spoken about it in previous podcasts, but this is also when Frank Oz actually took on Miss Piggy full time. The first season, obviously, he and Richard had been going back and forth. Whereas this time it's no, this is Frank's character, and this is, you can see him fighting Miss Piggy in these sketches.
Yeah, one thing that's going on here is she has something new to respond against, which I think really kind of brings out her character. And we'll see that before this in season one, basically, you know, she had romance feelings towards Kermit, and she had her interest in her singing career. And those were basically the only things that she did and cared about. And all of a sudden in Pigs in Space, it gives her like a whole new story to be a part of and like new kinds of things to respond to. Well, let's get into them. Once again, I am seeing the wisdom, like I did last week, of the way that Moving Right Along works. We're talking about 2 minutes of a movie at a time. Yeah. I set these episodes up and I'm like, okay, yeah, no, we're going to talk about these 10 things, but we're going to do it. Let's get into it. The first Pigs in Space sketch for season two is in episode 203, the Milton Berle episode. And they introduce it by doing an opening where they play Star Trek-style music and they explain who everybody is. And for this installment, it's actually longer than usual. It gets a little shorter for the rest of the season. And then they just drop it in season three because it takes up time and people already know who the characters are. But I love this one. At the top of the sketch, we hear this.
And now, Pigs in Space! Featuring the master of the swine trek, the intrepid and well-fed Link Hogthrob. And as first mate and second in command, the very cute and extremely dangerous Miss Piggy. And the super brain behind this whole ghastly mistake, the inexplicable Dr. Julius Strangeborn.
Very cute and extremely dangerous, I think, is an amazing description of Miss Piggy, because that is the pig that I love. She is both of those things.
That is, but it's funny because, like, that's as they were finding that part of her character.
Mm-hmm.
Because even in this episode, she's not particularly dangerous.
Yeah, she is more dangerous conceptually as the season goes on.
Yeah. I love those introductions, though.
Yeah.
Like, just that's always been one of my favorite parts of Pigs in Space, is just those ridiculous, like...
They keep finding, like, long words to be the descriptors. Yeah. And after a while, they start just using, like, sesquipedalian. They sort of give up on like finding one that makes sense, and they just throw in the longest word they know.
Just throw in, it almost feels like they grab Scrabble letters, throw it down, and be like, just read out whatever it says.
Yeah, and they're always very funny.
They are.
Now in this one, we're pretending that this is a continuing narrative, which if that was true, this would be the most boring television show ever on TV, because nothing happens in these sketches. No. They are specifically set up to have the expectation that something is exciting is going to happen, and then it deflates. The exciting thing that's happening as we get into this is that the swine trek is on a suicidal collision course with a mysterious celestial object, which looks like, according to Miss Piggy, the headlight on a motorcycle.
It's also fun watching this because of just how rubbish the graphics are. Like, this is long before any sort of CGI was on the scene. This is all just rubbish.
This is real basic green screen.
Real basic green screen. Yeah, it's garbage, but I think that's why we love it.
There's actually a thing in the intro when Miss Piggy's head goes by. I don't know if you noticed this. I did after watching all 10 time. Of these. Yeah, there's like the black, you can see part of the black drape that they put over the shoulders of the puppet as it goes by.
Yeah. I've always liked that. I think that's like, I've noticed that. I reckon I noticed that the first time I ever saw this.
Oh, yeah.
And it's just one of those things I've never been able to unsee. And apologies if you've never seen that before, or people listening to this, you will only ever see it from now on.
Right, yes. And that's just them figuring out green screen, because it's all about lighting. Basically, you have to get the lighting exactly right. And so for that particular moment, they did not. Strangepork and Link are kind of, they're buddies in this sketch and sort of in all of these sketches. They're a little two-person team, and Miss Piggy is kind of on the outside.
Doc, would you look this thing up in your book?
No. It's not listed here under any known objects.
Look under unknown objects.
How could it be in that book if it's unknown?
There are some things even pigs don't know.
This sketch actually doesn't feel to me like the first one that they made. The next one, we'll get to that in a minute, but because this one, she's basically just expressing sarcasm the entire time. She's sort of like rolling her eyes. And that's what she's doing the entire sketch. And I really like Frank Oz's puppetry here, because he's doing everything he can to indicate an eye roll with a puppet that absolutely is not able to do that. So she says a line and then she turns away. For one line, she speaks out of the side of her mouth. She has like all kinds of different ways to give an expression to this puppet that cannot actually do the thing that she's doing.
And that's what I like about, I think Frank's always been one of the best at it, taking a very, very simple puppet who can't do, can only do, you know, a very limited amount of things, and finding every little camera angle or head tilt or, you know, slight move of that thumb and gets a whole range of expressions out of Piggy. I think I've heard somewhere, and it might be with the newer Piggy, that apparently, like, there's not a lot of space in her, like, between the snout and the mouth to sort of move. Like, there's only a very little amount. And so, but this Piggy feels a lot more flexible in the mouth.
Well, she is all foam at this point. At a certain point, they put fleece on top of it. But right now, she's all foam. And you can see that when she's, like, crunching up her nose and stuff. You can see that this is just a foam puppet.
But you're right. When you say that, like, nothing happens in this sketch, you're not wrong. Like, it's even like, it's anticlimactic in the end. It looks like a motorcycle light because it was a motorcycle light.
And then we see Gonzo driving by. And, yeah, it actually was a motorcycle passing them in space.
He drives past and they just go, oh, okay then.
And then Piggy says,
I told you that at the beginning of this dumb sketch.
Which is an incredible line because they are just inventing the idea of the concept that this is a narrative. And already Miss Piggy appears outside of that narrative.
Which is, again, because I guess for almost the first time, and really, I guess one of the only times, Miss Piggy is the straight man in the sketch. As I said before, there are two characters who are bigger than her, like bigger personalities than her. And so she's having to figure out how to be the smart one in the room.
Right.
Which isn't what Piggy does. That's not to say Piggy's not smart, but Piggy's not the smart I can't believe I said that, like I'm afraid of offending a pig puppet. But
the whole concept of this podcast is, yes, Piggy is real. We're just going to go. We're going to go with that.
She's the smartest person in the room for once. So it's just interesting seeing sort of that side of her. And I guess it's nice because even she can be like, yes, I know I'm a star and I want to be, you know, a star and I'm going to commit as much to this sketch as I can.
Right.
But even I have my limits. She hasn't, whereas, you know, they would get, like, the Muppets will get to a point in their time where she will immediately go for the karate chop. She will immediately go for the flying off the handle Piggy. Right. This is that little bit more subdued Piggy who's sort of finding, she's pushing her boundaries.
Right.
She's trying to find where that line is.
And Link ends up, as you said, if Piggy is the straight man in the room, Link ends up as the butt of the joke at the end with his snout getting caught between sliding doors, which mostly does not happen after this. He very frustratingly comes out ahead in some of these.
He does, which I appreciate because I think that adds to the audience are relating more and more to Miss Piggy throughout this second season. And so they can see how that frustration is coming. They can see where the frustration is coming from because, you know, as they relate to Piggy more, as they love Miss Piggy more, as she becomes the breakout star of the show, they sort of can start to get annoyed at, well, why the hell is she losing to these, to this idiot pig? And they can start to feel that frustration alongside her. Yeah, as they, start to build Piggy up, they can play on that and they can give that frustration to the audience as well, which is why you continuously have these two bumbling buffoons constantly coming out on top. It's a good way of, I think, introducing the whole concept of these sketches moving forward, is that Piggy's the smart one, these are the idiots, but she's not always going to win.
Right. Let's talk about the next one. Episode 205, Judy Collins. In this one, it's another catastrophe. There's always a catastrophe happening every time we see the Swine Track. And this time, the Swine Track is approaching the electrifying mid-course correction maneuver, which doesn't mean anything. This is space. Hard to say what they're talking about, but it's,
it's all just fancy tech words. Look, maybe I've watched too much Doctor Who in my life, but I just hear these words and go, I guess that makes sense.
Yeah, you just go with it.
Yeah.
So this one actually feels more like the first sketch to me than the sarcastic version that we had in the previous episode. Because here Piggy is talking in this kind of like exaggerated melodrama talk.
Stand by for mid-course correction.
Oh, isn't this electrifying?
Dr. Strange Bork, ready to kelp me down?
Oh, Captain Link, would it be all right if I performed the mid-course correction?
You're right, it does feel a lot more like the first one they probably filmed. Because, and again, that's Piggy just giving it her all. Like,
yeah.
As these sort of sketches go, towards the end, she's like, maybe not necessarily, I think the last one, which we'll get to, she seems to be pretty like all in,
yeah,
in her acting ability with it. But the others, like, she just tends to be a little bit more like, all right, I guess we're going to do this stupid sketch about the frog wrote it. All right, let's go. Whereas this one, she's like, no, I'm all in. Like, this is, I'm going to get an Emmy because of this.
You know, and Frank Oz says that part of the character for her is like, here's this pig who can't sing, who can't act, who, you know, is a pig and not very fashionable. But she's going to keep trying. She always thinks that she is. Here we're definitely seeing, if this is her version of acting, what she's doing at the beginning of this sketch, then no, she's not that good at it. And there's this weird part.
Well, after all, I did go to school for this particular maneuver for 11 years.
Still, you are a woman.
Yes, Captain, just as you are a man.
Technically, you're both pigs, but we know what you're talking about.
Oh, Captain, may I please perform the maneuver?
Well, I suppose so.
Oh, thank you, El Capitan.
And she says thank you and she hugs him. And that doesn't happen again. That's really the thing that makes me think, like, this must have been the first one. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, that's not something Piggy would ever do again.
No.
You turn around to Piggy and say, well, you are a woman. That's where she's going to bust out Raquel Welch and she's going to sing a song about how proud she is to be a woman.
Yeah.
And you can see them finding it. Like, there is, and it feels weird to us. Like, how uncomfortable is that?
Yes. Yeah.
And we're also looking at a lens of, you know, 45, 50 mm-hmm. years later, and it's like, oh, don't, let's not use that as a joke.
Oh, yeah, no, that's a running theme that women can't drive and shouldn't be trusted with any of the real controls.
Yeah, it's, and look, I don't agree with it. I think it's, you know, I'm glad they don't do that sort of stuff now, but it's hard for me to sort of, and I'm not defending those sort of jokes at all,
mm-hmm.
but I see it very much as, like, it's the same as, like, when Miss Piggy karate chops people. There was a whole thing online a couple of years ago where people are like, Miss Piggy shouldn't karate chop anymore.
Right, she's
violent. It's all that sort of stuff. I see it as cartoon violence.
Yeah, I agree.
Right? For me, it's cartoon violence. It's all just heightened, very silly. No one's supposed to be taking any of this seriously.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, like, looking at jokes like, you know, like, you're a woman, like, I'm glad they don't do that now. And Miss Piggy's mm-hmm. very much a feminist icon, I guess.
Yeah.
Nowadays. But I look at this and I'm not looking at this going, oh, there are some people who would watch this and go, they need to take that joke out.
Right. No.
They don't. They don't. Yeah. They just, you know, let's not make those jokes anymore. But sorry, go on.
Well, part of this is her kind of turn on that where.
Yes.
You know, that there always has to be that kind of like escape hatch then. Where the sexism is happening, but then that's the thing that she's reacting against.
Yes. Whereas this one, she sort of isn't reacting to it. And maybe that's why it feels a little bit weird, because she doesn't really react to the sexism
right.
as much as she will in the future.
All right. Yeah. And right now what she's reacting to really is just the incompetence.
Yes.
There's one thing, like she says, I did go to school for this particular maneuver for 11 years, which is just a great line because it's like, it's just pushing one button, and it would be tough to spin that out to 11 years of education. But it's a nice thing that absolutely, like, is a new thing for Miss Piggy, the idea that she has a past. And, you know, and for this narrative that she has a past that includes going to mid-course correction school.
For 11 years.
I really love that.
I can never figure out how old Miss Piggy is meant to be.
Yeah, she is an adult, I think, is kind of the only answer. Yeah, she's the one that definitely isn't a kid. And beyond that, she could be kind of anytime. So she gets real wound up in this. Strange Bork and Link are reminding her and telling her and ultimately yelling at her, telling her to push the button. And she gets kind of flustered and she says, just don't shout at me. I'm a lady, which is another line that I just like a lot. And Link pushes the wrong button. And so here's the turn for her.
You pushed the wrong button, bigot brain! I spent 11 years learning which button to push, and you pushed one of those other buttons!
It's a new thing for her to do. It's not just like the insult karate chop, but she gets to do this kind of like feminine to masculine turn that is where she's actually using like sarcasm and insults herself, as opposed to being just the recipient of it.
Yeah. And it's funny you say that feminine to masculine turn. It's something that I've certainly changed my opinion on over the years, but there was a time where like I had a conversation with a friend a couple of years ago about Miss Piggy. Mm-hmm. And the lack of like feminine representation in the Muppets, which is a very long running conversation. We had a conversation about female puppeteers, and my friend was under the impression that Miss Piggy was played by a woman.
Really?
Yes. And so I said, well, no, for it was Frank Oz, now it's Eric Jacobson. And she was quite horrified by that.
Yeah.
Like, she was like, well, you know, is that really appropriate? And this is going on especially at a big time during the whole Me Too movement and you know, female representation and all that sort of stuff. And I was watching it, and I was very much in the camp of Miss Piggy has to be played by a man. I think I think you need that masculine energy to Miss Piggy. But I've started to, and it was funny because of all things that made me change my opinion, it was Mokey Fraggle. If you watch Back to the Rock and watch Donna Kimball and how she plays Mokey, I'm like, you can see Piggy in that.
She's got that energy. Yeah.
She's got that energy.
Wow, 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 Boomer! Is this a magical moment or what?
I guess I choose what?
Oh, come on. It'll be fun and easy. You do a little toast, open the box, the flutterflies fly out, and then it turns into a party and everyone dances hard, like really hard. The kind of dancing where you become the music.
And so I did sort of think to myself, okay, maybe I'm completely wrong here. And it completely changed my opinion. Over 10 episodes of Back to the Rock, I went from like thinking Piggy had to be played by a man to no. In fact, anyone could do this job. Okay. So it's interesting you say that sort of Piggy has that, you know, flick to masculinity, because now I'm like, yeah, I was so in that camp and now I'm not. And I wonder what your opinion is on that. If you even have
I
one.
I think I do. Yeah. It's Piggy is a drag act. And I think there's a very particular energy that comes from a guy who's in drag, that you know that there is non-feminine stuff that's there under the surface. And the sort of over-exaggerated femininity that we see from Piggy on the outside is very much like a drag kind of performance.
Yeah.
Where she's playing up to that. And then kind of letting, Frank Oz at one point referred to her, she said like, you know, she does all this feminine stuff up front, but underneath she's a truck driver.
Yeah.
And I think it makes sense. I'm amazed that anybody thought that she was actually played by a woman.
Yeah.
That it makes sense that both of those kind of identities are present at the same time. I think that's kind of key to her humor.
Yeah.
That being said, if I saw somebody else playing Miss Piggy, I would definitely be, you know, if I saw Donna Kimball or another female puppeteer player, I would definitely be interested to see like what they did with it and how it felt. I'm sort of only responding to like the two people that I've seen play Miss Piggy up until now.
Yes.
So I wouldn't say it's out of the question. I would be interested to see it.
Yeah. And I mean, it's probably something we're not going to see for a very long time, if at all.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I think there is that masculinity to Piggy. And I hesitate to say it can only come from a male performer because I don't necessarily believe that. But
it's not necessarily like masculinity as much as it is aggression and sort of it's traits that are kind of stereotypically connected to masculinity, and then traits that are connected to femininity in our culture. Yep. But as shorthand, we are using masculine and feminine.
Do you think any of the humor of it comes from our knowledge that Miss Piggy is being played by a man?
Yeah, because that's what drag performance is. Like, you're not supposed to believe it.
Right.
That, you know, drag performers, they really like make a much more heightened presentation of femininity specifically because it kind of throws into relief the fact that everybody knows that she's a man.
Okay. Yep.
But but we are going to see. I'm moving on to, this is so interesting.
Let's move on. Yeah, let's move on before I get myself canceled.
Well, no, but these are actually like, they're super interesting questions and issues. And that is really kind of some of the stuff that I want to figure out and talk about in this podcast. So I'm really glad you're bringing it up. That being said, we have like 8 of these.
Yeah.
So I am moving on to, and here is one where this is probably the most direct sexist joke that we've got in this set. This is episode 207. It's Edgar Bergen, the ironing sketch. They are on the verge of a hideous catastrophe once again. And Strange Fork says,
"Captain, according to my records, the only person who's had the necessary training to save us is First Mate Piggy."
"Oh, I am ready to do whatever is necessary to save the Swine Trek and her crew. I am at the service of all Porkdom. What is my assignment?"
"Miss Piggy, you and you alone can operate the independent heating / unifying element across the horizontal equalizing plane and save the entire crew of the Swine Trek."
"Oh, I am ready, my captain."
And it turns out to be an iron and an ironing board.
Yeah, just absolute flat out sexism.
Yep.
Like, we're not even going to try to hide this one. This is, they are sexist. Miss Piggy is a woman and she has to do
that. They are male chauvinist pigs.
Yes. Oh, now that's actually a very good term and something that I have thought of before when it comes to them, but you're right. They completely lean into the male chauvinist pigs.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's, and it's funny. Like, I can't believe I hadn't thought of that phrase yet today or yesterday watching this. Like, that is obviously what they're going for.
And the thing that makes this funny for me, and I do think it's funny, like just that turn of finding out exactly what those two things are and that they turn out to be an ironing board. I think it's funny because she 100% does not say, "Oh, okay, what a great idea. Yeah, I'm the woman on board. I'm going to do the laundry." No. First thing she says,
"You want me to do the laundry?"
Like, this is not happening.
Yeah.
And this is her first attempt at the karate chop catharsis, where they are insulting her and doing sexist jokes. And she grabs the iron and she actually tries to karate chop Link with the iron, which would have been devastating.
But, you know, in a turn of events, because usually when Miss Piggy karate chops someone, 9 times out of 10,
she connects. Yeah.
Or she connects to at least someone. She doesn't connect in this case.
No, she bangs against the metal door.
She comes off, she comes off second best, which again isn't something that happens a lot to Piggy in her everyday life.
Right. And one thing that's interesting for me, looking at these and thinking about how, yes, these are all very sexist jokes. At least the stuff that we've seen so far is really sexist jokes. And the response from the audience at the time was just to love Piggy even more. Nobody was writing fan mail to Link Hogthrob saying, "Oh, we love the way that you demean Miss Piggy. What a great character Link Hogthrob is." No, like, there are multiple jokes in the second season about Piggy being a woman and being fat. There's like a whole episode that's about that. And the response from the world is people just kept loving Piggy. Like, the thing that people really liked, and the thing that I really like, is seeing her like get insulted, seeing her get put into that box, because I know that she can rise to the challenge.
Yes.
And that's the thing that I think that people really want to see. Like, we kind of crave the insult in some ways. That's the sort of like karate chop catharsis dynamic.
That's it. Well, she's resilient. And I think a lot of people like to see that resilience. And especially, you know, this was a show that was primarily targeted towards children and families, and so it was nice to see resilience in such a strong female character.
Yes,
maybe played by a man, but still a female character.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, this is at a time where this was not a big thing in television at that point. Like, yes, there were like big female characters, but this was like one of the first, you know what, I'm going to come for you and I'm going to get you, like, female characters.
And really known that way, that she is very cute and extremely dangerous, as the announcer said in the first sketch, and being both of those things is very important.
Yeah, and I mean, it's all just a testament to A, the writing, and B, to Frank's puppetry, and also to the puppet building. Like, you know, I studied animation, and one of the big things we were told about character design was the character has to look appealing.
Right.
It doesn't have to be a good looking character, but the character has to be interesting enough that it's appealing.
Right.
And Piggy, very much more so in, you know, this season, like early Miss Piggy Puppet, not overly appealing.
Right.
She's getting the hair in the Pigs in Space outfit as well. She gets that appeal. And so I'm not surprised she was getting all this fan mail and, you know, people were rallying against her. Rallying with her, I should say.
For her, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, everybody is on her side, which is pretty amazing. Next sketch, episode 209, the Madeline Kahn episode. This is actually, it's very similar to the one that we just talked about. The Swine Trek is drifting aimlessly through space due to the loss of power in the steering mechanism, which, again, is not, that's not a space thing. But here's Link. He's sort of ineffectually pulling levers.
Try that one.
What, this one here? Mm-hmm. I already did.
I didn't see you.
You don't have to see me. I'm the captain.
And Hogthrob informs her.
Now you stay on your own side. These are the captain's controls. Those are your controls. They're the first mate controls. You work your own.
But my controls are just for the hot plate, the air conditioning, and the stereo. They have nothing to do with steering.
That's right.
I loved that line reading of, well, I didn't see you.
Mm-hmm.
It's a case of Piggy being the smartest person in the room again, but still coming off second best, because sure enough, that button didn't actually do the job.
Right.
Like, that wasn't the button. So she's still wrong.
Yes. She is rebelling against male domination, which, again, I like to see. But yeah, you could really go either way on this.
Yeah.
One thing that's funny to me is that these are not Star Trek problems.
No.
At all. Like, we need to get the laundry done. We don't know how the steering works. Like, this is not what Star Trek is about. They're basically on a long car trip is how this feels.
Yeah, it's just, and I like the fact there's no indication of where they're going.
Mm-hmm.
They're just in space, hanging out.
Any time they even try to talk about that, I believe the phrase they use is lost in endless space.
Yeah.
Like, that comes up more than once. Let's talk about the next one. We've got 214, Elton John. In this one, the crew is overcome with a fearful attack of boredom. They're sitting back in their chairs and sighing. Miss Piggy is basically asleep.
Yeah.
And here we are, lost in endless space.
Wonderful puppetry, though.
Yeah.
Just all three of them just sighing at the same time.
Yeah.
Just a real nice little bit of synchronization.
At least we could have brought a TV set. I'm missing all my favorite bowling shows.
You and your bowling shows. He cries at the sad parts.
I've forgotten that. That's a great line.
And again, it's Piggy kind of like being sarcastic and she is no longer being subordinate to him the way that she was. There's no, like, you are a woman and you are a man at this point.
Yeah. This feels very classic Piggy. Yeah, this feels really like, I'm not taking any more crap.
Yep.
Like, you're an idiot.
Doctor, what does that red light mean?
Oh, the red light means stop. The green light means go. The yellow light...
No, not traffic lights yet, twit.
I really like it when she gets to call Strange Pork a twit. That is satisfying in some very basic way for me.
Yeah. This is where, like, you know, and I've said it a couple of times, but she's the smartest person in the room. This is where she actually finally gets to, like, all but say, you're idiots.
Yes.
I'm smart. What the hell's going on here?
Yeah. And then they learn that the ship has been invaded by alien creatures. And this really is probably the sketch that goes against all of those sexist jokes that they've done in the previous sketches, because Link then runs to Piggy.
Oh, help! Do something, Miss Piggy. If they're like snakes, I'll scream.
You're the captain, fatso!
And so it's showing that the sexist critique of Piggy is not actually accurate, because Link is actually the weak and the cowardly one, and he's turning to Piggy for protection.
Now, obviously, like, this was episode 214, right? Mm-hmm. So we're about halfway through season two.
Yeah.
Granted, I haven't watched, like, season two of The Muppet Show for a very long time. At this point, I'm trying to remember how much Piggy's been established as, like, a hard ass and a badass outside of pigs in space.
That is happening. That's definitely by this point, is it?
Yeah, so like they're leaning into that as well. They're playing into the whole, we know that Miss Piggy outside of this sketch is like, you know, she doesn't take any crap from anyone.
Yeah, that is now established. Yeah, you're right. It's sort of like outside this story.
That's it. So they sort of they're winking at the fact, you know, Piggy's cool. Piggy's gonna save the day if she needs to, which they hadn't really sort of done much of yet. Like, yeah, they'd had the angry Piggy and the karate chop Piggy, but they hadn't really had the Miss Piggy knows how to save us sort of part yet. Whereas that was now being established.
Yeah, strong Piggy. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
Now they're all freaked out by the Swedish chef and the chicken as they run through from, you know, previous part of the show, as they should be. This is an insane man with a cleaver running around in circles around the deck, but fine. So this is the first time so far that the outside world of the show has kind of penetrated inside the Pigs in Space sketches. So it's kind of like mixing up this conceit that this is somehow a continuing story that's separate from the rest of the Muppet Show. Next one is episode 218, J.P. Morgan. The spaceship is plummeting towards Earth at an alarming rate, and in order to maintain their present altitude, they need to throw something out of the ship to keep it afloat, which is not how rocket ships work. They're thinking of hot air balloons, where you have
that's
to throw
what
stuff
they were thinking
out
of.
In order to get altitude is not a spaceship kind of concept.
As we'll talk about, so they decide that they need to get rid of a pig. I like the fact that like that's going to be like that minute bit of weight in such a heavy ship is going to be what saves them. And they decide on Miss Piggy.
Yep. And there's a great puppetry moment that I really like when Link is trying to tell her what the plan is.
First Mate Piggy, I need your help.
Yes, a real assignment. Yes, yes.
We are losing altitude. And we must lighten the weight of the rocket by throwing something overboard.
Oh, and you want me to help you decide what?
No.
Oh?
We've already decided what.
What? Are you out of your mind?
And they have to get across that Piggy is slowly realizing that Link wants to throw her overboard. And it's another really nice example of Oz's puppetry skill, that he is getting emotions out of the puppet that technically she cannot express with her eyes or her face.
Yeah, and as I said before, it's all just tiny little movements in that snout.
Yeah.
And she just, I think Frank holds that look. Yeah, he holds that look and just this very slight little head tilt before he does the snout, and that expresses so much.
Yeah, it's really beautiful.
It is. And as is Link's gulp.
Yes.
And because you don't see Link's face when he gulps, you only see like the sort of, I guess, 3/4 back of his head, like the snout move. Yeah, just a fine little bit of puppetry.
Yeah, it's really lovely. And then this is the first successful karate chop, finally, on Pigs in Space. That he drops her and yells, au revoir, Fatso, and then somehow she comes back behind him. She pops back up. And so she finally, for the first time, well-deserved by this point, finally gives him a karate chop, which is the thing that the audience loves, and then stomp him to the ground, which is that extra bit of awesome puppetry that Oz sometimes does, of like, he gives the karate chop, and then there's like this little hop as she's stomping on the person. It is always extra funny. It is basically one of their most reliable sources of audience pleasure, is watching Miss Piggy do that.
And like I said, it's pure cartoon violence.
Mm-hmm.
And also, he's getting his comeuppance. Like, it's not like he's some poor, you know, innocent soul who didn't deserve it. He absolutely deserves the karate chop and the kick.
In this moment, yes, for sure.
Yeah,
he's about to throw her overboard. Yeah, I think of it like the cartoon violence. I think of it as this is mythology. That this is like Bugs Bunny and Elmer Fudd. This is like Lucy pulling the football away from Charlie Brown.
Yep.
That, yeah, there's violence, but this is our mythology. And mythological characters, there are different rules apply when you're talking about mythology. So episode 222, Teresa Brewer episode, this is my favorite one of the season. Because this is the one where Piggy just completely flat out rebels and just refuses to be part of the sketch. this mm-hmm. is finally, this is, she is taken to the breaking point and she breaks everything. They're having another catastrophe. The oxygen and the fuel and the water is all used up and they are in a mess. And Piggy starts out with that same kind of like melodrama voice of saying, "Oh, Captain, my Captain, what shall we do?" And then a pig comes in and announces, "Captain, we're out of swill," which hits Link and Strange Pork very hard.
It does.
Egad, we're out of water, fuel, and oxygen. What could be worse?
Captain, we're out of swill.
Out of swill?
Oh, not swill.
Wait a minute. I thought this was a serious science fiction story.
Yes, but we've got 25 adult pigs on this spaceship. We can't survive without swill.
So a thing that I love is that Piggy does not seem broken up about this at all. Like, just no. mentioning swill, she doesn't do pig stuff.
That's it. It's and it's one of those things that I love when an anthropomorphic, that's the word, whatever.
You got it.
You all know what I mean. character actually acts like that character, like actually acts like that animal.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, the best example I can think of is like, you know, Brian from Family Guy, when he actually acts like a dog.
Right. Yeah.
And so here you've actually got, you know, Link and Julius talking mm-hmm. about swill, like, which right. is what pigs eat. And yeah, this seems to be Piggy going like, really, this is what we're going to do?
Yeah.
Like, and again, just rebelling against it, just that complete, like, I'm not taking part in this. Like, this almost like it's demeaning.
Yeah, and she does a take to the camera, like yeah. Jim from The Office style, of just like looking at the camera and saying, "Do you believe these guys?"
Yeah, at one point, yeah, she literally does that head tilt of like, "Eh, yeah. like what the hell's going on here?" Which is when they're all freaking out when Scooter joins.
So Link tells Piggy, "There's actually like some really nice writing."
Miss Piggy, go cook us some swill.
Me? I'm the first mate. I'm supposed to give orders.
Fine, then give us 25 orders of swill.
And one side of coleslaw.
Besides, I am a gourmet cook.
Good, then give us 25 orders of swill stroganoff.
And then she just breaks.
All right, that does it. I refuse to continue this sketch. You hear me?
Sketch? What sketch? This is the swine truck. We're lost in endless space.
This is a cheap shot comedy sketch, and I lay your odds the frog wrote it.
Yeah, it's just like, I refuse to do it. The frog lover's probably written this, and I'm just not doing it anymore.
Yeah.
And then Scooter pops up and goes,
yeah.
Guys, like, get on with it. Like, Kermit's like, hurry up. And it's like Link and Strange Pork, they are fully into this sketch.
Yeah.
Like, they have committed 100% because Scooter turns up and, oh my God, there's an alien here. And we have to get rid of him. And Scooter's like, what the hell's going on? Like, I'm not an alien. Like, what the hell? And they just commit fully. And so
they think this is real. This is yeah. their life as far as they're concerned.
Yeah. So they just fully, you know, commit to this thing. And Piggy's just like, and I've been around that. I've been around people who just will fully commit to a joke.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sitting there going, oh, I appreciate it, but can we just move on? Yeah, it's just, I really related to Piggy during this.
Hey, you guys, Kermit says get on with the sketch, okay?
Red alert, emergency!
The hideous space creature has boarded a ship!
The hideous space creature from outer space, we are doomed!
Yeah, she does another really big take to the camera. And something that I like is that it feels like she has broken, like, she's broken the sketch and a little bit she's broken the show. Like, this does yeah. not happen. That, you know, Link is saying, like, we're lost in endless space. She says, this is a cheap shot comedy sketch. I'll lay you odds the frog wrote it. And that's not a thing that they ever talk about. That, like, yeah. who writes the sketches? And yeah. then Scooter coming on stage and saying, Kermit is saying, move on with the sketch. That never happened. As crazy as things get on The Muppet Show, we do not see that. So it feels like this is Miss Piggy being very cute and extremely dangerous, where she yeah. has basically destroyed the spaceship And like, and there's red lights, warning sirens going on. She's broken the sketch. She has possibly broken the Muppet Show. She refuses to pretend that she's a pig. She refuses to participate in these sexist jokes about her cooking. And finally just refuses to be part of this television show. She just tears it all down as she leaves, which is fantastic.
Yeah, she's it's a good case of breaking the fourth wall.
Mm-hmm.
But like,
and then
almost breaking
on
the
it.
Fourth wall. Yeah, breaking the fourth wall and stomping it. Like breaking the fourth wall of the fourth wall.
Yeah.
Like, not only is this a television show, not only am I breaking the fourth wall, this sketch, I'm breaking the fourth wall, this television show.
Yeah.
And I've had enough.
And also I'm a puppet. And also, like, it feels like she's, you know, she could go there if she wanted to. This is high camp. And I love that. This is like, it's an acknowledgement. It's a thing that camp does, which is an acknowledgement that this is frivolous and false, that we've committed to this sort of overly serious melodrama of the situation. But now we're seeing in reality that that's just petty and overblown.
Yeah.
And I happen to have a 4-year degree in post-structuralist literary theory, which is the only way to go. And if I wanted to, I could use unending amounts of trickster jargon about like transgression and signifiers and knowledge systems and stuff. Luckily, I don't feel like doing that. So that is a lucky escape.
I appreciate that.
It's a lucky escape for you and all the listeners. I'm not doing it. But I could. And this is the sketch where I could if I wanted to.
Yeah, this is probably a good example of how well written the Muppet Show could be.
Yes. Yeah.
Because there's some great lines in it, but it's probably the Pigs in Space sketch to explain what the Muppet Show is. Like, if you want to show what the Muppet Show, you take a couple of sketches from sort of like, you know, a couple of different episodes. This is probably a good one to put in there.
Yeah. It shows you both like what Pigs in Space is like, what Miss Piggy is like, and how extremely dangerous she is.
Yeah.
And kind of what she can do when she really puts her mind to something. Episode 224. This is our last one. Loris Leachman episode. The fun thing about this sketch is that this is the one that Piggy abandons Kermit for. And it's not worth it at all.
No. So if I remember, this is the episode where the pigs have taken over, correct?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah. And they lock up Kermit and Fozzie and Gonzo in a little room.
That's right.
And right before this sketch, Miss Piggy visits their little cell. And she says that she'll stand by Kermit. She refuses to go on.
You have to cancel it. I remain with my sweetheart, Kermit.
Oh, gee, Miss Piggy.
Okay, we'll just get someone to take your place.
Take my place?
I mean, if you want to stay here with him, we'll kill him.
Well. Bye.
That's showbiz, pal. Oh!
And that, I think, that's another important character moment that I'm kind of like tracking through these episodes.
Yeah.
Talking about first season and now into the second season. You know, she started out where her love for Kermit was the most important thing, the only important thing in the world to her. And by now, her career is even more important than that.
I interviewed Frank Oz back in 2019, I think it was, about for Muppet Guys Talking when that came out. And he and I were talking about Miss Piggy, and I was trying to figure out about her. I was asking him, I should say, about her desire to be famous.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, Miss Piggy has no desire to be famous. He said, Miss Piggy just wants to be loved. And she sees fame as the easiest way to get that. And that's something I think about with Miss Piggy a lot.
That is so interesting. Yeah.
Because Miss Piggy doing this, she's like, she knows that if she goes and does her sketch, she's going to get the adoring fans like, oh my God, Miss Piggy's here. And she's worried that if she doesn't do this sketch, they're going to forget about her.
Right. Because someone else is now going on instead of her.
Because someone else is now going to go on instead of her. She's like, no, I need that love. I need that adulation. So I guess that desire to be loved by, you know, hordes of people might
that transcends,
transcends the desire to be loved by a frog.
Or the respect that she's getting right in that moment to by him.
Yeah.
Oh, that is so interesting.
Yeah, that's something that I think about a lot when it comes to Piggy, and
yeah.
it's something that I think I said it to Eric when we interviewed him on To Introduce Our Guest Star. It might have been after the interview because we chatted for like 2 hours afterwards. I mentioned that Frank had said that, and he was mm-hmm. like, I really, really love that. And I think he actually wrote it down. I think he was like, I'm gonna like try champion basically that again. Mm. And I guess we haven't seen a lot of Piggy sort of since then because right. they haven't done a lot with her since.
Given all that, it's kind of a disappointment that the sketch is kind of lame.
Yeah, it's not great.
This is their first real Star Trek type sketch where there's an alien invading and they're supposed to respond to that. This is actually where the series is going to go next season, is to do yeah. like fewer of the, you know, season two is all the like domestic trouble between the three pigs. And then next season, it's going to be more of a science fiction show.
Yeah. And they go a little more experimental with things. Like I'm on the Muppet Wiki page for Pigs in Space now. And like the next one has Gonzo, Camilla, Beaker, a Kuzbanian, mm-hmm. Luncheon Counter Monster, the Witch Doctor, Chopped Liver and Statler. The one after that, they turn into food, whatever it is. Yeah, they sort of get a little more experimental with the whole thing.
Yeah, Snacko Waves, yeah. they run into Dumbo Rays. There's a Dissolvatron. Yeah. It's more them kind of coming up against space science fiction-y things.
Yeah, and they actually get out of the Swan Trek at one point and go to Planet Kuzbane.
Yes. Yeah, for a hot second.
I wish they had sort of been getting to that point like now, just because this mm-hmm. episode, yeah, this particular installment of Pigs in Space kind of felt a little flat. Like, it almost feels like had we had the Teresa Brewer one with, mm-hmm. you know, Scooter and everything at the end.
Chaos, yeah.
You know, it's a good way to tie it off, to have Piggy go like, I'm not doing this anymore, we're done, I'm out of here. Whereas, yeah, we sort of end with this, again, cliffhanger that's not a cliffhanger.
Right.
With Chopped Liver turning up and them trying to, you know, figure out what's going on. But I think I said earlier in the episode, Miss Piggy goes, like, she gives it her all again. Like, at one mm-hmm. point in this, she, like, hides up against Link, like she's
yeah.
like she wants him to save her.
Yeah.
Which doesn't feel like what Piggy would be doing at this point.
Yeah, well, and it's funny because this, I guess the real comedian in this, that the thing that everything's turning towards is Link is obsessed with, he has a spot on his costume.
Whoa! No! I got a spot on my uniform!
And so it actually puts Link into this like stereotypically feminine position of caring more about his appearance than about the space battle that's currently yeah. going on around him.
But it just, yeah, this,
which is cute,
feel like,
but yeah, yeah, this Piggy doesn't get a lot to do.
Doesn't feel like the Piggy of that we've gotten Pigs in Space the last few episodes. Yeah, just it felt just a little bit of a oh, that's how we're ending this.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, then, fair enough. Only saved by just how insane that Chopped Liver puppet is.
Yes, exactly. Chopped just, liver from the just, planet Zabar.
Yeah, it's just a sponge, a dish sponge,
yeah.
with some sunglasses. That's all he is.
But yeah, I agree that really kind of thematically, you know, if they were running things for our benefit here for this particular podcast episode, yeah, the ending really is like Piggy just getting completely fed up with the Swill Stroganoff and all of the like woman jokes and pig jokes. And she basically destroys the entire thing. And then, because this is where the run of like male chauvinist pig women jokes pretty much stops. You know, yeah. like we said, they're doing all the science fiction stuff starting in season three. And so they stop doing the like women can't drive jokes. And stuff. Yeah. And so it does kind of feel like Piggy just got sick of it all. And she is done with that. And now we're going to do something else. And so that is the end of the Pigs in Space episodes for season two. And what have we learned?
We have learned that watching all of this from start to end, as I did last night, which granted mm-hmm. didn't take anywhere near as long as I thought it would.
Yeah.
Because some of these sketches are about 4 to 5
like
seconds
2
long.
2 minutes long. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a great example of seeing how Piggy changed over a season.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You get that first episode where she's subordinate and she's very, yes, captain, whatever, my captain. And in the end, she's breaking the sketch. She's breaking, you know, ribs, yeah, if she to. And just the, you can see Frank finding Piggy, mm-hmm, in these sketches.
Yeah.
And there are certain things that happen in these sketches that I think are still very prevalent in Miss Piggy's character today.
Mm-hmm.
And we also learned that you shouldn't give Miss Piggy straight hair, because in one of these episodes she has straight hair and it looks dreadful.
which episode is that? I didn't notice.
Oh, I'm trying to remember. It was awful. It might have been the Jettison episode. Whatever it was, it was just had like long dead hair. It was terrible.
I can't believe I missed that, because really that should be the spirit of this podcast, should be that the most important thing is how Miss Piggy's hair looks.
Yeah.
That is true for basically the entire history of Miss Piggy, that she has good hair periods and bad hair periods.
Oh, yeah.
And it very much affects my opinion of, like, what's going on with the Muppets during that time. So one thing that I like about Pigs in Space is it gives Miss Piggy some new combatants, new people for her to react against and to fight against. That Piggy basically doesn't have friends. There are people, yep, who she lusts after, and there are people who she fights with, and then basically everybody else who she just kind of tolerates.
Yeah.
This is now actually giving her those people that she can battle and react, yep, to, and have these like nice strong moments where she gets insulted and she comes back with something.
But there are also certain moments in this sort of these Pigs in Spaces, where, mm, and granted, maybe it's First Mate Piggy and not Miss Piggy, like the actress Miss Piggy, like I'm sort of separating those two, where at least First Mate Piggy seems like she has a genuine respect for, mm-hmm, these two and a genuine fondness for these two. And so it's interesting just sort of seeing, again, at the start, she's quite fond of them, even if they're, yeah, idiots. She's like, you know what? I'm the smartest person in the room. I can kind of tolerate, yeah, you guys, like almost pitying them a little bit, but still quite respectful of them.
She hugs Link.
Yeah.
In that second sketch, which is unreal.
Yeah. That, I can't see that ever happening again.
No.
Never again. Not even in a Pigs in Space sketch can I see that happening again.
No.
But it's the same as, like you look at Vet's Hospital. I love Piggy in that because Piggy's playing along with the jokes. Like, she's not too good for the puns.
Right.
She plays along with them. She makes the stupid jokes.
Mm-hmm.
And she sort of laughs along with the whole thing. And I've always found those sketches really interesting because, again, they don't feel like what Miss Piggy is.
Right.
They feel like Miss Piggy playing a character.
Mm-hmm.
And so maybe Piggy's just a really good actor. Maybe we don't give her enough credit
for the Vet's Hospital. Yeah, you're right.
Just for the Vet's Hospital sketch.
Yeah. Yeah, it would never have occurred to me to do an episode like this about Piggy and Vet's Hospital because it's all the same.
Yeah.
And something that I really like about Piggy and that I think helps to make her such a powerful and enduring character is she always has a story.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's always conflict of some kind. You don't put Miss Piggy in a scene and she just stands there and says hi, yep, and now Miss Piggy's in the scene. Like, just her being in the room means there's some kind of conflict going on.
There is tension.
And that's what she brings all the time to every scene. And really none, yeah, of the other, you know, like you can imagine, you know, Kermit and Fozzie and Gonzo like hanging out. And that's just, yeah, like a chill time. You know, they're, you know, the Muppets in general are all just kind of like having fun together.
Mm-hmm.
And Miss Piggy walks in and she's always got a narrative going on.
Yeah.
And I do love that about her.
Which is why I think another episode of that 2015 series I really liked was the one where she becomes friends with everyone.
Yes, yeah.
Like, she goes out drinking with them and she does karaoke with them all. And all of a sudden she has, like, love and respect for her, you know,
yeah,
peers. And you can actually see how, well, maybe Piggy could actually be friends with these people.
Yeah.
And that's something I've always liked. Like, I liked her relationship with Scooter in that series because, mm-hmm, she seemed to have some sort of dynamic with Scooter. It's the same back in the day with her and Beauregard. Like, Beauregard, yes, was an, yeah, idiot, but she seemed to actually be a little bit fond of him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there are times when she's very sweet to him.
Yeah, so I think, yeah, I think it's possible for Piggy to be both. To be both the friendly pig and to be the karate chopping badass.
Right.
And we sort of, we do kind of see that both sides of that in these sketches.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's interesting. The interesting thing with Beauregard is she's nice to him because he is so subordinate. He is so much lower. He's, you know, not just the janitor and the handyman, but he's a moron in every possible way. And so it's possible for her to do that because she doesn't punch down.
No.
Piggy punches. She punches all the time.
Yeah.
But she's always punching up. She's always punching at like somebody who's trying to put her down.
Yeah.
Who's trying to insult her. Yeah.
Yeah. But she's got at least that respect for, I guess, the people that are under her.
Yeah.
Most of the time.
And I think here in Pigs in Space is the place where they basically invented some new ways for her to interact with people that kind of lead to that kind of development later on.
Yeah, absolutely.
And they made a lunchbox about it. Jared, thank you so much for joining me today. This has really been fun. This has been great talking to you about this.
I appreciate it. This has been something I've wanted to do for a long time. I think talk about Pigs in Space, and just it's been nice to focus on Piggy. Like somehow she doesn't get the spotlight she deserves on a website called Tough Pigs.
I know this is the thing I'm trying to correct.
Well, I mean, it makes sense for I guess the creator of Tough Pigs to talk about the toughest pig of all.
Yes, exactly. What would you like to plug as we wrap up?
Oh, what would I like to plug? I mean, toughpigs.com.
Mm-hmm. It's a good site.
I was going to say thank you, but you made it. So you can go and listen to introduce our guest star, which is a podcast we didn't know who we're going to be interviewing. Like we would surprise each other with guests. And that's some of my favorite stuff I've ever done. I mean, we've got Dave Goals, Bill Beretta, Eric Jacobson. We finished with Frank Oz, which was one of the weirdest days of my life.
Yes, that was a great episode.
I spoke to Frank Oz and an hour and a half later was under anesthetic getting a kidney stone removed.
Yeah.
So, and what he was a very weird day.
And he was very supportive.
He was very supportive. And I should say, I don't think we ever publicly said this. He actually followed up with me to make sure I was okay. Like about 24 hours later, he sent Joe an email, said, "Hey, just wanted to check in with Jared, see how he's feeling."
Oh, that's really
sweet. What a lovely, lovely man.
Yeah. And what a great podcast that is.
What a great thought. Oh, thank you. I appreciate it. That's one of my favorite things I've done. So go and listen to that.
All right.
I've got some ideas for future podcasts. I've got something I'm working on at the moment, not a Pigs in Space one, but an idea that I've had in my head for about 6 months. So we'll see if that comes to pass.
All right. I'm excited to find out what that is. Coming up next on this podcast, I'll be talking with Becca Petunia from the Muppet Quiz Show podcast, Hubba Wah. We'll be talking about some amazing interviews and appearances from 1977 and 1978 that are foundational for Miss Piggy and for our civilization as a whole. So, kissy kissy, and thank you for listening to this episode of the Fantastic Miss Piggy podcast, brought to you by toughpigs.com. If you have comments or questions or you know stuff about Miss Piggy that you'd like to share, you can write to me at fantasticmisspiggy@gmail.com. That's fantasticmisspiggy@gmail. I'm also on X at fantasticmissp and on Blue Sky at Danny Horn. Or come and join us on the Tough Pigs Discord. Thanks, everyone. I'll see you next time.
Gee, I'd like to see you looking swell, baby. Diamond bracelets, Woolworth doesn't sell, baby. Till that lucky day, you know darn well, baby, I can't give you anything but love.